different things. I bet y'all have too.
Yes.
And believe it or not, one of the ones that came to mind was bumper stickers. Bumper stickers.
Oh, bumper stickers.
Bumper stickers. Used to see a lot more bumper stickers than you do now, but you still see some now. And you put them on the back of your car. Well, bumper stickers are actually a lot like tattoos. Because you want to pick out something that's special for you, that's meaningful, maybe even the right colors and color scheme. Just like a tattoo. And then, like a tattoo, you have to decide where to put it. Should it be to the left, to the right, higher, lower? You got to make that decision. And then also, like a tattoo, in my experience, bumper stickers are hard to get off. You got to scrub forever. But the bumper sticker that I've been thinking about was one that I got several years ago. A friend of mine, Mary Ellen, brought me this bumper sticker. And the bumper sticker said, "Everything in the universe is subject to change, and everything is right on schedule." And that bumper sticker was so good, I didn't want it on the back of my car where I couldn't see it. I took it into my office, and I taped it up where I could look at it every day. Because we are all living in changes and all kinds of changes. In our scripture, Samuel was basically a kid. He was this kid, and he wasn't even his decision to be in the temple. He was in the temple because his mother made him go. And the reason his mother made him go was because his mother wanted a son, really, really wanted a son, kept praying and praying, finally she said, "Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you." So the Lord gave her a son. The son was Samuel. And she gave him back and sent him to the temple to work with Eli the prophet. Now, Eli was blind and old, and basically Samuel was just kind of a kid running around doing what needed to be done, keeping the candles lit, which is why he was sleeping by the Torah. And one night, of course, he gets, you know, this call. "Samuel, Samuel, come here." So he pops right up, runs right into Eli and says, "What do you want?" And Eli says, "I don't want anything. Go back." Well, this happens, as you heard, three times. "What do you want?" "I don't want anything." "What do you want?" "I don't want anything." Finally, the last time, Eli says, "Samuel, it's not me. When you go back, listen again, because it is the Lord." So Samuel went back, and he listened, and the Lord said to Samuel he was going to do great things, and he was going to make things happen. I loved the end of this scripture, that would make the ears of everyone in Israel tingle. It was going to be that good. But that was a change, wasn't it? Here's this kid thinking, "I'm just here to sweep the floor and keep the candles lit." All of a sudden, I have a bigger job. And it came a really big job as you read forward, because Samuel was actually the one that ordained Solomon and then basically kind of nudged Solomon a little to get David ordained. But that's the role Samuel played. None of that would have happened if his mom hadn't sent him to the temple. And if he hadn't listened when he was supposed to. Big change. And we get a lot of changes ourselves. We're going through changes right now. There are dramatic changes for the good and for the bad. You know, there's having a baby and buying a house and losing a job and falling and tripping and having someone you care about move away. And there's all kinds of changes. Whether they're good or they're bad, we still have to deal with it. And the easiest way to deal with it, in my opinion, is to resist. I mean, you know, we really shouldn't have to, like, do anything, should we? So we resist it. And then this one I've heard is easier. I probably have gone this point at some point, but part of resisting can also be sabotage. when, you know, someone has really hurt you, and so all you want to do is hurt them back. Instead of accepting the change, you're off resisting and sabotaging. So when you come to how do we deal with it, the step is accepting. How are we going to accept this change? And there's a lot of things we can do to accept a change. Henry and I had something come up in November. I got a text message from our daughter that said, we just had a company meeting and we've all been laid off. Now, our daughter is 40 years old and has two children of her own, but we are the parents here. So it was like, what are we going to do? So the first step in that adapting process is where you go to, why me? Henry and I were immediately going, why me? What are we going to do? How's this going to work? How can we fix this? You know, do we have any money? Do we have, you know, can we go up there and give them some stability, stay with them for a while as they work through these things? What's going to happen next? But it was almost all of it was, why me? Because that's where we all go. We've heard about changes recently, and the first thing we did was go, why me? What's this going to do to me? How's this going to change what I do? And what about this? And how am I going to do that now? But we're moved beyond the why me, further into the accepting. And the best way to do that is to get out of the me and into the us. So we take some time and we think, okay, who else is involved in this? Who else can be part of the process here? Who else can we get involved in accepting this change and making this change work, not for just why me, but for everyone that's affected by this change? And that step is really accepting change. That's when Samuel said, okay, I heard God, and now I'm going to get up and do what he says. I don't feel like I can do it. I'm not qualified to do it. There's just no way it should be me doing it. But he was called. And if you walked into this door this morning, you are called. You are called to be here. This is where it starts. So we're called, we've listened to it, and now we're going to accept it, and we're going to get people involved. And the next step is, how can we accept it forward? What can we do to make an impact on that change that is not just thinking of me? If we go back to our daughter Molly, you know, after Henry and I were both just like this, it's like, well, let's wait a minute. Let's hear all the circumstances. Well, she was laid off. Well, there is a severance package. She's got insurance. Nothing is going to, you know, change immediately. Everybody's going to be okay with this. She's, you know, got her bachelor's degree and her master's in early childhood education. She's got a lot of skills, a lot of places she can go. In essence, we're kind of prepared for this, aren't we? All right, well, let's look at it. And Molly did the same thing by sharing it with everyone. And as a single parent, she's fortunate to have like three sets of grandparents for those children because of marriages and how they work. So guess what? She told another set of grandparents, and they do have the means. And they did step up, help pay her mortgage, help get her some groceries. We stepped up. We got her down here. We got her down to Florida. She wasn't working. They were kidding, you know. So we got her down here. We gave her a week of love and nourishment and affection and, you know, no chores and no cooking. This is our gift to you. But it's not solved. Didn't have a new job yet. And that's a lot like where we are. We've resisted. We've at least said, why me? How did we get in this situation, and how are we going to make it? And we've stepped forward. And we said, now, what else can we do? And how else, who does this involve? And who else can we bring in? And who can we incorporate? And who can we lift up? And how can we do this? And it started. Important service where we dedicated and affirmed and ordained elders and deacons into this church as servant leaders. That's just the beginning. They're here to be with more. And to be with more, and to be with more. Next Sunday, we're having what we call Shepherding Sunday after Sunday, and that's when we'll go in the fellowship hall, and you're actually, everybody has deacons and elders and members that they belong to. And you'll get to know each other, and you'll check up on each other, and they'll check up on you, and we will give and give. Nothing is stopping what we have and what we can give. Because we have moved not just from denial to accepting, we are now with embracing. And when you embrace the change, that's when you can fully see blooms. You can see things happening that you never expected to happen. Because you have embraced the change. You are willing to look at the change. You are willing to see it. And try it. There's a lot of us going to be trying new things. I can tell you that right now. We've talked a little bit about it, but your worship service will be presided by your elders. And that will be, the elders are basically presiding. They're managing the worship. So the elders may be preaching. The elders may invite a member to preach or someone from outside of our congregation to preach. The elders will be serving communion. An offering. Our deacons will be serving communion and offering, and everyone will be stepping up from here forward because we can. We already know we can. And we are embracing that. And there's still going to be moments where we think, yes, but. And that's something else we need to embrace. We, as much as we like the old way of doing things, we can't do it that way again. I told a joke with search committee one time. We were talking to some people, and I consider myself a little old church lady, so I want you to know I'm telling this joke about myself. How many little old church ladies does it take to change a light bulb? It takes four. It takes one to change the light bulb, and it takes three to talk about how great the old one was. We're at a point where we really have to say, the old one was great, but here's where we are. And here's where we're going. And here's how we're going to do it. And just like Samuel heard that call, and he didn't just hear that call and think he should sit in the temple and keep talking to people. He heard that call, and he went out, and he worked for the Lord. He made a lot of mistakes, I'll guarantee you. Okay, maybe it's not biblically referenced, but who doesn't? He made a lot of mistakes, and we're going to make a lot of mistakes. But just like when we were talking to the kids today, there's one thing that doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've got that. We've got the one thing we need to move forward. And we've got this. And God's got this. And we're all going to do it. So now we know. What's next? Amen.